The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer on the day after.
Ooh.
And we still do not know who our president is. And I believe with the fraud that's going on that now has been uncovered in a couple of these battleground states, I don't know that we're going to know for a little bit just exactly who won the election. But one thing for sure, God's still on his throne. You know, it's interesting in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the king high and lifted up in his train filled the temple." You know, it doesn't matter what happens down on this earth. We remember we still have a king that sits on the throne in heaven who, again, as we serve him as our Lord and King, being about our Father's business, so important in these days. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today as we set this time aside every weekday afternoon answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church on Sunday, is it even in the Bible at all? So if you've got a question, that number again, 8888-ASK-CSN. Joining me today, special guest, Shannon Skolton from Voice of Truth on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock here on CSN Mountain Time. Hi and welcome, Shannon.
Thank you, Mike, for having me on.
Always a blessing with you. And we have another guest with us today as well, Tom Barrett. And,
yes, we do.
I'll let you introduce him.
Tom Barrett, he actually programs with us on CSN. You can catch his show on Saturday, 8:30 Mountain Time, and Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And Dr. Tom was a founder of what is called Christian Financial Concepts. He's a former investment banker who has dealt with stocks and brokerage advice, over 35 years of experience in the banking industry. He's also a pastor and has pastored multiple churches. And he's really passionate about giving people a kingdom's perspective on their finances. So we're excited to have him on. We know, you know, as an ordained minister, he has a lot to bring to the table for us today on To Every Man an Answer, but also just to figure out what is going on with everything in the election and what the economy might look like if Biden wins or if Trump wins. So, Dr. Tom, we're very, very blessed to have you on with us.
Well, I'm blessed to be here. I've enjoyed the show and in the past, and it's a real honor to be with the two of you.
It's great to have you with us. And, you know, Dr. Tom, we've got a lot of things going on right now. We have recognized voter fraud in a couple of the states that are these pivotal states that are so important to have them clarified, votes that weren't counted, and then there was a pile of votes that were found. And what would tell us about that? That's a really interesting story in Wisconsin, I believe it was.
Yeah, you know, the voter fraud is, it's so blatant, and it's actually quite disgusting, to be honest with you, that they can actually do this wide open and think that they're going to get away with it. And they just might. I don't know. We'll see. But Trump has already filed a bunch of lawsuits against Michigan and Pennsylvania to stop counting ballots because the fraud is rampant. Wisconsin itself, you know, there was more voters in Wisconsin than people who actually registered to vote. In Michigan, they found 138,000 plus ballots while we were all sleeping. And just so happened that every single ballot counted was for Joe Biden. What
not
are the odds
one,
of that?
Not one for Donald Trump.
Not one for
Over
Donald Trump.
Over 100,000 made up ballots.
And then, of course, we all know
that
in Arizona.
Had to be a coincidence, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, what a coincidence,
yeah.
Huh?
You know, and then what about Arizona? They were handing out Sharpies and pre-marking ballots in Arizona, Arizona, and the machines were actually spitting them out. It just so happened that that also was only for Trump voters. So, you know, I hope that President Trump socks it to him. I'm sure him and his attorneys have lots of lawsuits already penned up and ready to go. But I don't think we're going to know who our president is going to be in 2021 anytime soon.
Well, you know, and Tom, there's going to be repercussions, whichever president gets in. The one we're all fearful of because of especially Kamala Harris, who's a socialist communist. What do you think? Like right now, we've all enjoyed extremely low interest rates to buy homes, buy cars, things like that. We've had almost zero inflation, which is also incredible. We've had relatively great economic growth. But what's your take with a Biden presidency? What's going to happen? Where are the investors going to go when they know they're going to be paying maybe a minimum wage of $15 an hour and heavy, heavy taxation on their investment? What where do you think it's going?
Well, can you see my PowerPoint?
Yes, we can't see your PowerPoint, but we can
see you.
But we can see you. Oh, okay, there we go. Yes, we do. Okay, we see it.
All right, this is something I'm a professor of biblical economics at a seminary, and I'm the academic dean there. And this is something that I presented this week before the election. And basically, people were asking me what is going to happen in either the two scenarios. I said, well, there's really three scenarios. One is Trump is reelected. The other is Biden somehow manages through fraud to gain office. And the third is a really bad one, and that's a protracted election that results in no decision before Inauguration Day, and then Nancy Pelosi becomes acting president. Imagine the damage he could do in just 30 days with executive orders. I'm sure that she has her lawyers writing out the executive orders as we speak. But I analyzed the impact the election would have on our finances in each of those scenarios, if you'd like to look into that.
I mean, what do you see in a Biden presidency as far as how quickly things are going to turn? I mean, we understand the ramifications if Pelosi takes power. I think we all can agree that that's a Jezebel spirit, a very evil, wicked spirit that will be running the country. And we all know that they have, you know, this deep-seated desire to completely destroy the United States from the inside out. But how quickly do you see things changing? I mean, do you see it just being a financial collapse that is a ramification of, like they said, taxing very heavy and the debt increasing in America rampantly from their socialist ideologies and the things that they enact? Or is it something more sinister that happens rapidly? What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been saying for about a year and a half now that the stock market is due for a crash. I have clients that consult me about their finances, and many of them are millionaires and billionaires, and they've been selling stocks and buying gold, which is something people do when they're worried, for the last year and a half. So usually the indicators people use to predict the stock market are technical and fundamental. I like to say I've got my own private Dr. Tom indicator because I know what some of these wealthy people are doing. So if Biden wins, I think it accelerates the timing and the stock market could crash very quickly, all of them. We're not just talking about $4 trillion in new taxes. He's also talking about rolling back Trump's tax cuts, which will hit the middle class the worst. And of course, he's trying to back off a little bit, or was just before the election. But it's clear that he's going to go for a national mask mandate and a lockdown that would further crush your economy. If these things happen, if I'm right, then gold will rise dramatically and quickly. When I was in the brokerage business, we used to refer to the gold index as the fear index. Whenever people are worried about things, wars or rumors of wars and so on, gold goes up. And the national debt, which has been growing by $1 trillion a year, under Biden would grow by at least $2 trillion, possibly $3 trillion, if he does all the things he said he's going to do.
Where is this money coming from, these trillions of dollars? Is it the Federal Reserve that's making the loans to the United States people and government? And when's payday going to come, when they're going to demand to be repaid? Now, that's a question that I think should concern all of us as Americans, when there's no country in the history of the world combined that's ever been in debt as far as the United States goes.
You're absolutely right. I see the national debt even now just eating away at the heart of the country. But under a Biden, people say a Biden-Harris president. It's going to be a Harris-Biden presidency for a few minutes, and then they're going to kick old Joe to the curb. Mm-hmm. But as far as the economic impact, the Federal Reserve, the Chicago Fed specifically, did a white paper some time ago, and they talked about how money is created. Mike, do you realize that you've been guilty of counterfeiting?
Tell us how.
You know all about my copy machine? How did you find out?
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Well, you know, they say that if a guy goes down his basement and prints $100 bills, he's a counterfeiter. And if he's in Washington, he's a politician.
Oh, yeah.
The bottom line is they brag about the fact that the Fed now directly only creates about 40% of the money. 60% is created at the local level through local banks. So you've heard about fraction reserve banking. Mm-hmm. It's just what it sounds like. They're only required to keep a fraction of the money that they loan out on hand. So that's usually 10%. So if either one of you went down and got a loan for $100,000 or a mortgage, the minute that you and the banker signed that note or mortgage, then 90% of the money that was loaned was created. Mm. It didn't exist before. It's created out of thin air. It's a very difficult concept for people to understand because we think our money is backed by something. And it was until 1933 when we had a gold standard and people couldn't print money unless they had gold to back it up. But since 1933, when FDR confiscated 40% of the wealth of the nation, the national debt has increased hugely, mainly because we've lost 96% of the purchasing power of the dollar. The dollar's worth 4 cents today compared to what it was in 1933.
And that's because the government can say whatever they want a dollar to be worth. I always use the illustration very quickly, Tom, of a grandma that gave one daughter in 1964 1,000 silver dollars and gave the other daughter 1,000 paper dollars. They both put them under in a safe under their bed, and now they are here. We are in 2020, and they get their $1,000 out. And the one daughter goes, "Look, I still have my 1,000 paper dollars." Well, what can you buy for 1,000 paper dollars today? Well, not much. But in 1964, you could buy a brand new Volkswagen Bug, brand new car for $1,000. On the other hand, the girl that had the silver dollars under her bed, those silver dollars are worth about $25 a piece. So she has $25,000. What will $25,000 buy you today? It'll go out and buy you at least a brand new car, a pretty nice one, actually. So when your money is tied to paper only, if your paper is under your bed, you're losing money because as inflation eats it away, or the government just says, we don't think that's worth what it was 10 years ago. It's only worth this much now. How do you stop that? How do you prevent that? Now, here's the next question for you, Tom. This tells me that we could easily go into hyperinflation. What's your thoughts?
Well, you're familiar with Peter Schiff, of course. Peter is probably one of the best international economists, and not just on international and domestic economics, but on currencies, precious metals, and so on. One of my favorite sayings is, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. Mm. So except for land and precious metals, anything else that you own, and when the dollar crashes, and I say when, not if, because it has to happen at some point, it's always preceded by a debt crisis. And as you properly said, Mike, we have more debt than any nation that's ever existed. So at that point, if the dollar crashes, the price of gold will go to about $20,000 an ounce. And silver will go to about $500 an ounce. And we'll be back to biblical times when the only money was silver and gold. God said in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And one thing I learned in theology class, when God says that something is his, what he means is that it's for his use. That's why he says that the weights and the measures are his. Back in where he's talking about people cheating the poor with inflation. Of course, the word inflation isn't used, but the the concept is there. He who decreases the bushel and increases the shekel. And he said, you know, I will never forget what you've done. I don't want to be on God's never forget the bad things you've done list. So, and he says the weights and the measures are his. So I believe God gave his gold and silver to be the basis of sound economies that the politicians and the bankers couldn't manipulate. So gold is the only biblical money, gold and silver. It's the only constitutional money because our constitution was to a large degree based on the Bible. And it's been the only real money for 6,000 years of recorded history since in the second chapter of Genesis, God said that gold is good. So what I see happening is the paper money becoming worthless. And 90% of what most people have is in paper assets. That's going to evaporate. But if you have 10% in precious metals, real estate, hard assets, then you'll weather a hyperinflation. So anyway, to go back to your question, Peter Schiff says recently something that I was shocked to hear, even though I believed I've known it for a long time. Schiff is very cautious in what he says. But he says we've gone from the place where hyperinflation is the worst case scenario to a place where hyperinflation is the most likely scenario.
It's pretty scary.
Now that should scare everybody's socks off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because again, and when you force it by $15 an hour minimum wage, which then drives up all the other things in line to offset that cost, things that were once quite affordable are going to be very inaffordable because of the mismanagement of the resources and mismanagement of the debt. And again, debt is just as damaging, if not more, than any other war. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said, "I fear banks with inflation and deflation more than any invading army." Rightly so, because it can completely bankrupt your savings, all those kinds of things. I remember it was about 1990, I went down to Mexico, and we were doing some mission work down there, and I remember going into a hardware store, and there was these dress tags on all the stuff, saws and different things, and there was a number with a line through it, a number with a line through it, a number with a line through it, and he goes, "I have to do this every day because the peso is losing so much ground." When I was there in 1990, I believe it was 3,000 pesos to the American dollar. Now, think a few years back before that, in the 70s, when somebody in Mexico was putting a peso away for their retirement, 8 pesos to the American dollar. Now it's 3,000 pesos to the American dollar. Your savings gone, just evaporated. Your retirement gone, no more, because they wiped it out through inflation. This is why it's so important that we understand this. Now, what do you think, again, interest rates are going to do for all those who are thinking about buying a house and maybe before February 20th?
Well, Ben Bernanke, who is not one of my favorite people, but he was at least one of the honest Fed Reserve chairmen. Most of them use weasel words. They say, well, sometimes we have to allow some inflation to defeat deflation. He said the truth. He said, it is in the interest of the federal government to create inflation because it, in effect, lowers the national debt. So when we go into a real hyperinflation, we'll see interest rates like they were in the hyperinflation of Jimmy Carter's years.
Yeah, 18-20% interest, yeah, mm-hmm. Which made buying a house impossible and anything else. So people can't buy anything. So the producers are producing cars, houses, these things. No one has the money to buy it, coupled with a $15 an hour minimum wage.
And massive layoffs because of it.
How's this going to work? It's the wisdom of a madman when you really look at it, because again, there's no way out of this. A complete financial collapse of the United States, easy to pave the way for a one world order, new cashless society. You know, Tom, I think we're in some pretty important times. What would you tell our listeners, Christians that love Jesus, what would you say the best thing they can do right now? Now, I realize for all of us as Christians, God's got his own message for each one of us. We got to be very careful about copycatting. Well, what God told this person is what God told me. Not necessarily, because God might call you to be a missionary tomorrow and go overseas, so it's not going to be an issue. But if, generally speaking, you know, we can adapt kind of a very poor biblical philosophy as, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to worry about anything. Consider the birds of the air. They don't have barns. I'm just going to party on. Jesus said that we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. The Bible says a wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. What would you tell our listeners right now would be the best thing if a Joe Biden win is in the horizon?
Put your money in the bank of gold. The government banks, if you have money in the bank, it's literally losing on average 5% a year. So if you had that same money in gold, then that means that as the dollar goes down, it takes more dollars to buy gold. Gold doesn't actually become magically more powerful, but it does protect you from inflation. I mean, literally for 3,000 years, an ounce of gold has bought the same amount of food, clothing, labor, materials, shelter, whatever you can name. One really good example, when FDR confiscated all the gold, legal money one day, for instance, a $20 one-ounce gold coin, became a crime to own it, and you could go to prison for 10 years. So most people dutifully went down like sheep to the bank, and they turned in their gold coin, and they got a Federal Reserve note. And much like what you just talked about, today that Federal Reserve note is worth, $20 Federal Reserve note is worth 80 cents. That $20 one-ounce gold coin is worth $2,000. Now, nobody can tell me that gold magically became worth 100 times more, but it cost 100 times more, and it's because of inflation. So if you want to protect yourself from inflation, then you want to put your money in the bank of gold. And the address of the bank of gold basically is your house, and the vault is your safe, because not only is money in the bank losing to inflation, but it's also subject to being confiscated by the government. Another scenario, I mean, most people think when they deposit money in the bank that it's their money. It's fair to say that you should be able to believe that, right? And that was true until 2012. But if you look up the accord signed between the Bank of England, which is their central bank, and the Fed, which is our central bank, you'll find out that since 2012, when you think you're depositing money in the bank, you're actually loaning the money to the bank. And if you look at their balance sheet, which is audited by the Fed and by the IRS, you find that your $10,000 deposit shows as an asset of the banks and as a liability to you. So it's actually a loan. Well, that's bad enough. I mean, that they're telling me I'm depositing money when I'm really loaning the money. But here's where it gets bad. In 2008, the FDIC, which is not federal, just like the Federal Reserve is not federal, it's as federal as FedEx, as I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. But the FDIC is not federal either. It's federal in the sense that it's administered by the Fed, but it's funded by the banks, a percentage of their deposits. Well, if a bunch of banks fail, then who's going to fund the FDIC? And it almost did run out of money in 2008, and a lot of banks did go under. Here's the thing. Now that they've got this thing that started in 2012, the bank is allowed to treat your loan as a convertible loan, so they can convert it to stock in the bank. Well, I don't want to have a loan to a bank that has already gone bankrupt. I sure don't want to have stock in a bank that's gone bankrupt. Hmm. Because as soon as they convert it to stock, then it's no longer FDIC insured. They can only insure money. No one can insure stocks. Think of all the thousands of stocks that have gone bankrupt. So you basically just lost all your money if you had it in the bank and the bank failed and the Federal Reserve didn't have enough money to bail it out.
Yeah, pretty serious things. And so, you know, really, there's an old Larry Norman song written a long time ago. A lot of people think it's a Bible verse, but it's not. But in the song, it says a piece of bread will buy a bag of gold. And people go, oh, well, see, look, gold, it's not going to be worth it. Well, all I can tell you is this. If a piece of bread will buy a bag of gold, if we want to adapt that standard, at least it'll buy something. Where do you think your paper dollars are going to be? So I think when we really look at the logic behind this, I think we have to be very much aware. Now, there are people who have money in the bank who owe on their houses, on their mortgages. Would you say a good thing to do is pay off your mortgage, even though you may use it for a tax write-off at the end of the year? Which is better, to pay it off, or what do you recommend on something like that? We got about a minute, and then we'll kind of come back on the other side of the break. But what's your thoughts on that one?
I would never do that. You only get a tax write-off on the interest that you pay. So as soon as you pay off a house, you've lost any tax deductibility. But the fact is that after the dollar crashes, you'll be able to pay off that house with an ounce of gold.
Yeah, and I remember in Germany, hyperinflation, a lady paid off her entire farm with one egg. Inflation was so bad in the early 30s in Germany, and this is one of the things that swept Hitler to power, was that people were paid at the factories several times a day. People would literally bring wheelbarrows down full of money. People would dump the money out and steal the wheelbarrows. Because the money,
wheelbarrows were worth more than the money.
Wheelbarrows were valuable and cash wasn't. So it's really a tragedy we see. And Ken, I want you to think about that. For all of our listeners, if you got a special question you'd like to ask Tom, when we come back on the other side of the break, we'll take some of those calls because, you know, these are going to be challenging times for all of us as Christians. And I believe God has put in the body of Christ people who understand these kinds of issues that we're all going to be faced with and how not to get skinned alive. So we want to come back on the other side of the break. Tom will answer some more questions and God bless you. We'll be right back right after this.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
CSN International, where God's word is heard. We broadcast on almost 400 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Idaho. You can listen in great cities like Twin Falls, Boise, Cascade, Ketchum, and many more great cities throughout Idaho. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world at csnradio.com. CSN, the Christian Satellite Network.
Glory to God. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. CSN.
We want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Shannon Skolton and also Tom Barrett, leading
extraordinaire
understanding what we need to do with our our resources that God's entrusted us with to be wise, good stewards makes a lot of difference. Again, the Bible says a wise man sees trouble coming, prepares for it. And what do we do with that? And when we understand the incredible policies, if Joe Biden, in fact, does win the election, we're going to have hyperinflation, national debt that no country in the world has ever survived from. So the result then is going to be all kinds of issues. You know, one of the things, Tom, and then we're going to go to the phones, but, you know, what do you think if this is a Biden win, understanding the $100 trillion Biden green power, energy deal, coupled with all the other vote for me, everything is free policies. Where do you see this and how quickly do you think this can unravel? Because again, the investors in the stock market, they're not going to put money out when they see the insanity of this. So what's your thoughts?
Well, basically, the dollar will crash. It has to. Right now, just the interest alone on the national debt is 18% of all revenues. And that's based on very, very low interest rates. Once inflation starts eating away at our economy, we will be very quickly at 25-30% of the debt, which means Social Security can't get paid, military doesn't get paid, and so on. So the dollar will crash. And when that happens, I believe the people are going to force the government to go back on a gold standard. It's one of the things that I'm predicting for a Trump win. He's been hinting, and I've got two videos on this on ChristianFinancialConcepts.com about Trump returning to the gold standard. He's been hinting strongly about it. I heard him talk about that at CPAC. And I believe that he's going to try to do it for two reasons. Number one, he believes in it. But number two, China, right now, as we speak, is buying hundreds of tons of gold.
They are.
And they're not shy about it. They want to back their currency with gold. Mm-hmm. If they do that, overnight, they become the world reserve currency, which is a privilege we've had since 1944, the Bretton Woods Agreement. And our standard of living goes down very quickly. So we have to beat China to the backing of our money. If not, then it's going to be by default, will be Johnny-come-lately, and it will happen as a result of a crash. So it's much better for us to be proactive about it.
So the thing that right now, what would you tell the average person listening then? Buy gold? Is that what you'd be saying?
Invest in tangible assets.
Yeah. What would you do? And then we're going to go to the phones.
Hard assets.
And that would include real estate. That would include gold. That would include silver. That would include what else?
Well, basically, mainly real estate and gold and silver. Whenever I say gold, it's always gold and silver. But gold is much more important than silver. It's much less volatile. It goes up more. And every central bank in the world owns gold. None of them has silver. So I have an article I've written called the 10-10-10 Financial Survival Plan that I'm happy to send to people, or you can find it on the website. But it tells you how to allocate your assets. As far as real estate and precious metals both, there's ways you can invest in both that will protect you from inflation. And then there's other ways that you can invest that will protect you from inflation and increase your purchasing power. Because, you know, if you look at Matthew 25, what we call the parable of talents, what my mentor, Dr. Peter Wagner, called the parable of the money managers, everybody makes it about the guy who hid his money in the ground. And that's okay. That's definitely part of it. But what did the master do? He rewarded the servants who increased what are you giving them. So I believe that just as important as keeping the money safe that God has given you to steward, we're supposed to grow it. So there's certain types of real estate that will grow your assets, whatever they are, even if you don't have a lot. And the same with precious metals. Or you can just invest to protect from inflation. I think it's best to do both.
Now, in 2007, 2008, when everything crashed and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going at it and it was a bloodbath for our economy, A lot of people had mortgages and they had loans on homes, and they lost those because the banks were essentially stealing the homes back, writing to people saying, hey, we're in hard economic times, don't pay your mortgage. People weren't paying their mortgages. They were taking that benefit, and then they were coming along the back end, like Bank of America did this a lot, Washington Mutual, and then they were repossessing the home out from under them. So people who might have had low interest rates or even almost had their homes completely paid off were suckered into these deals where they ended up losing that asset anyway. So can you clarify for the listeners, when you're talking about investing in real estate, are you talking about going out and buying a single-family home that you live in that's at 3.5% interest? And what is the risk if they do that? Or are you really talking about investment properties, maybe something you purchase cash, you hold that physical asset, and there's no risk of losing that?
Okay, well, first of all, earlier Mike quoted probably one of the most quotable presidents, founders that we've ever had, Thomas Jefferson. Another thing he said is that if we allow the banks to issue the currency, then our children will be dispossessed of the land their fathers fought and died for. And the fact is that 90% of the mortgages today are owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. So in effect, you don't own your home.
Exactly.
The government owns your home. So Thomas Jefferson was something of a prophet. But if people don't own real estate right now, my advice is don't get it because things are too imminent. You know, somebody's asked me the other day, a single guy, he said, you know, why did Paul say, if you're not married, seek out a wife? I said, well, it's because you'll find one. and it probably won't be the one God meant for you. So, yeah, you can find real estate now. It's very high in some parts of the country. Real estate is very regional. Mm-hmm. But other than your own personal residence, I wouldn't buy real estate. And I wouldn't even, if I'm renting right now, I wouldn't buy a residence because you'll be able to buy it so much cheaper later after on. The dollar crashes. Mm-hmm. If you own rental property, danger, danger, danger. Everybody says to me, well, if the dollar crashes, well, people still going to have a place to live. I said, that's right. But they don't have to live in your apartment. They can go home and sleep in mama's basement. Mm-hmm. And that's already happening. There's adult children that have lost their jobs because of the Democrat lockdowns, and they're coming home wagging their tails behind them saying, is my bedroom still available? Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, if you have a house, you have a mortgage on it, you'll be able to pay that off for pennies on the dollar. The kind of real estate I'm talking about is something that I put all my retirement money in because you can use this for IRA money and so on. And it's called land banking. And this is actually the way President Trump has made most of his money, buying land that nobody else recognizes the value of and waiting until the value goes up. And I'm sure everybody that's listening has had a story like I'm about to say. I was about to buy 6 acres in North Carolina where I pastored my first church. And I could have made that into 12 nice house lots. And the lady wanted $2,000. And I was actually on my way over to her house to give her $2,000 in cash. And I thought, man, that's awful expensive. So I went back home, called her up, apologized, and I didn't buy it. The land was on the outskirts of town. Well, now it's on the inskirts of town. And each of those lots are worth around $25,000 to $30,000. So we all have a woulda, shoulda, coulda story like mm-hmm. that. The thing is, knowing the right way to buy it. And that's the way President Trump made most of his money, knowing how to determine where the progress is going and buying land in advance. So the people that are in, it's called land banking. The people that are interested say, don't wait to buy land and wait.
So you have ChristianFinancialConcepts.com, and can our listeners go there and find information on this or reach out? Or you said you teach different courses for the Christians on financial education. Is this something they'd be able to get more information on from your website?
Yeah, we have somewhere between 500 and 600 hours of videos of everybody from Peter Wagner, who I mentioned. He's considered like the dean of biblical finance, Jerry Boykin, Rick Green, who's the radio co-host for David Barton's show. And interestingly, you know, we talked about the crash of 2008. There was only two people, there are brothers, who actually predicted the crash of 2008 in advance, and not only just a general prediction, but said exactly how and why it would happen. And they were the Wiedemer brothers, and they talked about America's bubble economy. Well, the financial press savaged them because the stock market was great, the dollar was strong, real estate was strong, everything was great. And then we had this big crash, and all of a sudden, they were prophets. So we have videos by them. Just some of the best teachers in the body of Christ, where we've been blessed, because I speak at a lot of conferences with people like Lance Wallnau and Rick Joyner and so on, that where they bring together people to talk about economics. And I just pick out the best teachers and invite them to our webinars. So we do those every Monday night. Everyone's welcome. It's free. And we have recordings of them available at ChristianFinancialConcepts.com.
What a deal. What a deal. You know, give us that web address and then we're going to the phones.
Okay. ChristianFinancialConcepts.com.
Pretty simple. And make a difference whether you get eaten alive by the inflation and all that kind of crazy stuff, or even worse, banks going broke. Let's go to the phones. We have Sean on the line, Redmond, Oregon. Hi, and welcome. Hi, Sean.
Hey, yes, thanks, guys. So I like what you're saying about hedging or whatever with gold. I don't have a lot of cash on hand, but I have a sizable 401k, and I'm wondering if it would be wise to pull out some and pay the penalty so that I could obtain some gold in hand.
Okay, well, first of all, I can't answer specific questions like that for two reasons. I gave up all my licenses. I used to have every license there is in financial services because I've always supported myself as I pastor churches by working in financial services. And number two, as you can tell if you can see the video, I'm not God.
So thanks for clarifying that.
Yes.
Oh,
man.
And it's God's money. And so I can't give specific financial advice. But if you want to call me, my office number is 561-753-5998. 561-753-5998. I can give you some general principles. And I am allowed to tell you what I would do in a certain situation. But just in general, if people have a deferred plan of any kind, whether it's a 401k, IRA, there's 403Bs, there's Roth IRAs, simple IRAs, there's a lot of different plans out there. There are ways that you can invest in either land or precious metals within those, because frankly, the people who manage those plans, they don't really care if they make you money or not. I know that sounds crazy, but as long as you don't lose money, they keep their jobs. But if they take any risk, and you can't really make money without taking some risk, and they lose your money, then they get fired. So they're content to just make you 4 or 5%. Well, if you're making 4 or 5%, guess what? You just broke even, because that's what inflation has averaged for the last 30 years. And then to add insult to injury, you have to pay taxes on the little bit of money that you didn't really get. So in most cases, unless you have a very, very unusual money manager, they do nothing but buy mutual funds, which is the way lazy brokers do it. I would never allow my clients to buy mutual funds when I was a broker, because they're a study in mediocrity. The only way to invest in stocks, and I don't think it's a great place to be right now, but if you do, then you should have well-chosen, well-researched stocks, and you put a 10% stop on them. There's a reason why in 2008, some people lost 10%, some people lost 32%, and some people lost 50%. What's the difference? Well, the people that lost 50% had their money managed by other people, or they put themselves into mutual funds, and you can't put a stop on a mutual fund. When it starts dropping, there's nothing you can do to stop it except sell it. And it's usually gone down by the time you realize it too far. The people who lost 32% are the people who had bought like an index fund, because that's what the S&P 500 lost. So it's a little bit crazy if you think about it, that if you just bought the market, you lost far less than people who had their money so-called professionally managed. And then there's the people that only lost 10%. Those are the people that chose their stocks carefully, or they had a broker who wasn't lazy, who did the same, and automatically put a stop on it. As soon as I would get a fill as a broker, the second I got the notice that I got filled at the price that I wanted, I immediately put a 10% stop on it. And the people that had stops like that in 2008 only lost 10%.
So it's important that if you use an investor, it needs to be really researched out a lot, because some are just lazy, just as you said, Tom, and they don't care. They're just pulling a check. I actually had a company like that in my own, and not that I got that much money to invest, but I had a little bit. And I think I gave them like $20,000, and when I finally cashed out 10 years later, I think I got $22,000. So, I mean,
if it was 20 years, it was probably worth about $15,000.
Yeah. So I went way backwards on that investment. So, no, I realize it's important. That's why I want to cause all of our listeners to be aware that we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, the leading of God, but we also want to be wise with God's resources. Now, Tom, I'm sure you're aware of this. And this little segment for very quickly, and then, like I say, we're going to go to the phones. But I've known many churches, because they did not watch their financial circumstances, they've gone out of business. I mean, they went bankrupt. And those are churches because, well, you know, God's going to provide. Well, then they turn to their congregation and bludgeon them to death. You know, give me money, give us money. And so the church has moved from preaching the gospel to now fundraising in every corner of the building, because they have mismanaged their funds. If you go to a church and every sermon has something to do with giving money, get out of that church. It's mismanaged. Because again, I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's an old saying, it's not a Bible verse, but it is a Bible concept: where God guides, God provides. Well, if we are finding ourselves always having to beg for money, the church has spent more than it can financially do, you've got bad advisors running it. And I got to tell you, this is a tough thing. I don't think it's wrong for a church to let people know what the needs are, but keep the needs under control. Don't allow your church to try to keep up with the Joneses of the other churches. Well, you know, they got a brand new paved parking lot and ours ain't paved, so we better pave our parking lot, you know? And so they got all these kooky things and fund matching and, you know.
It's dollar for dollar. You give, I'll give. It's insane. It's sad, actually. And you know what the problem is, Mike, in the churches, is that there's a gray line between the needs and the wants. See, the Western church has, you know, you need this and you have to have this big of a building and these kinds of lights and this kind of sound system and this and this and this. And so they go, gadget, go to get everything that they think the people want so that they get butts in the seats and increase tithes. And there goes all the money.
Yeah. So,
well, I'll make a lot of people mad right here, but I don't think churches should have mortgages.
Amen.
Period. The Bible says that the debtor is slave to the lender.
That's right.
And if the church has mortgages, we're teaching the people by example to do the opposite of what the Bible tells us to do. Mm-hmm. So if churches can't afford something, they shouldn't do it. The first church I pastored in, we had some land, and then I was a general contractor, and a lot of the guys in the church do different things, different trades. And we built everything. It took us 4 or 5 years. We could have gotten a mortgage and gotten it done in 6 months, but it was much better to be in a rented building and build it ourselves and have it debt-free than it would have been to go the other way. But unfortunately, as you say, most churches, their eyes are bigger than their pocketbooks. I heard about a church in Denver area that spent $1 million landscaping their grounds. How many missionaries could that support?
Yeah,
how many hungry children could that feed?
$1 million worth of shrubs. It's
tragic. I mean, it's just tragic. But this is why people don't want to go to church. And this is why people have I think, thrown the baby out with the bathwater concerning God, because all it is, you know, you see some TV evangelist begging for money with his Rolex watch on, bragging about how many Lear jets he owns. And this is a crime against Christ. You know, it's you know, we're about supposed to be about our Father's business. We want to be wise with what we have. But this idea that we're just going to go ahead and go in debt and all those kinds of things, we're not in debt in this church. And I'm just so opposed to it, always have been. And I really believe.
And we've been mocked for it, actually.
I'm sure we have. But you know what? God guides, God provides, and that's the best place to be. Sean, I realize we went all the way around the mulberry bush on that one, but it is a big question. It isn't one shoe fits all. But I'll tell you, when I see the 401ks in 2008 that became 201ks, I think that a lot of times it ain't a bad idea to reconsider and not have, at least I would say this, not have all of our eggs in one basket. I think that's helpful. And just as Tom Bart has given you his number, I would certainly advise you to give him a call. I hope he'll help a lot, okay?
And
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Jeff, Lamar, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hey, I got a question for him about finances. I just bought a $22,000 van, and my wife has a retirement plan with work. Should I take and sell part of that retirement plan and pay off the van? What do you think?
Okay, what do you think, Tom?
Well, first of all, I hope you didn't buy a new van. I did one video on how to save $10,000, and people told me they saved $20,000 or $30,000. You never buy a new vehicle. The only time I ever did that was when I was young and dumb. I was 18 years old, and I'll never do it again. So you buy a vehicle that's at least 1 or 2 years old with 15 or 20,000 miles on it. So I hope that you did that. Don't answer me because I don't want to make you feel bad, but let's just say I hope that's what you did. Now, what is your interest rate on this van?
4.9.
You can borrow against your 401k for less than that. And again, as you can tell, I'm not a big fan of borrowing. However, when you borrow from yourself, which is what you do with the 401k, it's small interest and you're paying the interest to yourself. So that would probably be a good move because the interest that you're paying on that van is not like the interest on a house, which is simple interest. This is compound interest. So you're actually paying more interest than you think you are.
So I hope that helps.
It doesn't. My question is that in I was listening. Me and the boys were listening to Alistair Begg, and he was talking about Ruth, and he was talking about how that there was a curse on the Moabites that they could not enter into the temple for 10 generations. And so my question is was David the 10th generation, and that's why he couldn't build the temple?
No. As a matter of fact, if you go in your Bible, if you go to 1 Chronicles 28:3, this is where God spoke to him through Nahum the prophet and said, because you're a man of war, I will not allow you to build my house. And so it's very clear that the reason why David could not build God his house, and again, I think it's really important, the King James says, but God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name because you have been a man of war and you have shed blood. That's why he was not allowed to build the house. However, Solomon, his son, was, and in fact did, and that was the first temple. So I hope that helps.
It does, and I forgot. Thanks.
So good. Well, that's why. And so Jeff's down the line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Ken, Bellevue, Illinois. Hi, welcome.
Hi. You know, when I, in 2016, a lot of people prayed for the election, and on paper, Hillary was, you know, projected to win.
Yes.
And I really feel, because of the prayers of people, Trump won. And, you know, when I look at this election now, on paper, it seems like Biden Trump should win, because of, you know, Biden's stuff. I just feel like, you know, in 2016, it was God ordained for Trump to win. Now I feel like he has slammed the door. And I really kind of feel that Biden's going to win, because the problem is the church, he's, you know, the Lord gave us a chance to turn our country around, to turn back to him, and we haven't. And the church, meanwhile, has not talked about repentance, even in the coronavirus epidemic. You know, we need to turn back to the Lord. And
oh, I think so. You know, real quick, Ken, because we got coming up on a break here.
Yep.
I think so. And, you know, one of the things that I'll say is when you look at the fraud, we already know, everybody knows there's fraud now in these battleground states. It's absolute. There's no doubt about it. This is why Trump's going after him. And again, the ballots that were marked with felt markers that should not have been that way, they're thrown out. Well, all these hundreds of thousands of votes, all for Biden, not one for Trump. We know it's fraud. Trump knows it's fraud. This is why Pennsylvania changed their voting rules 2 weeks before the election. You never do that. So now you have all this fally-roll and fiddly-dee going on. No, I think we're on a crazy course, Ken, and hope that answers it for you. We're coming up on a break. We'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
You're dialed in to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We have over 300 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Nevada alone. You can listen in Las Vegas, Reno, Carson City, Winnemucca, Wells, and many more cities throughout Nevada and across the nation. Find your local station and a complete station list at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
We want to welcome you back to part three of To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Shannon Skolton, Tom Barrett, financial
extraordinaire.
At large. We're so glad. And, you know, again, one of the things that we want to do, you know, our last caller, Ken, and I think that was very good that, you know, his observations were, you know, America probably hasn't repented the way it should. But I know a lot of people did. And I know you went on the prayer march in Washington, D.C.
Here's the situation. And just to kind of agree and disagree, Ken, if you're still there. There's a lot of people who did repent and turn back to the Lord. There's a lot of evangelicals who realize that their walk with the Lord isn't what it should have been. And maybe that there was pastors that their churches, they realized they didn't, shepherd them as they should have shepherded them. And they stood up and they fought the good fight against the tyranny and this just tyrannical, demonic government that was trying to silence the churches. And even like Government Newsom trying to prevent people from even worshiping and singing, let alone congregating and being in fellowship. And so there was a large group that got together who prayed and who fasted and allowed the Lord to lead them to stand up, guiding their churches in repentance during coronavirus and calling out for the Lord to guide them and continue to pave the way and be salt and light to the earth. And there was another group of evangelicals or churches that just shut down, that didn't do any podcasts, didn't do any streaming, let their churches kind of just close. Like Mike said earlier, they didn't have their house in order, their finances weren't in order, they couldn't sustain anything. They closed down, and now some of them are working at Trader Joe's and the local Chevron gas station. So there's this dichotomy that we see in everything that has manifested and transpired. But what I saw when I went to the prayer march in Washington, D.C. at the end of September was a massive amount of people. There were people there who had no money, who barely could afford the plane ticket to get to D.C., who were trying to just go and do what God called them to do and gather and pray for the condition of our nation, that we would turn our hearts away from the evil and the wickedness that we have given ourselves over to and turn ourselves back to the Lord. And these people fasted and they marched. They went to the return with Jonathan Cahn and they pled for the condition and the heart of the people against, you know, the satanic act of abortion and the sacrifice of the unborn child and more and more and more, just really deep, intimate relationship with the Lord that transpired, and the Holy Spirit was there and He was present. So I think as many people as turned away and as many churches as closed and as many people who didn't repent, we had, on the other hand, a massive amount of people who repented and prayed and fasted and tried to intercede for our president, for our government, for the condition of the nation. So I hope that this is not, as you say, God's judgment, that the Biden-Trump race is so close. We know that there are spiritual forces at work. This is good and evil, literally at work. This is light and dark. This is a spiritual war that we're fighting. There were a lot of people praying and fasting for Trump, Trump's administration himself, and hopefully the outcome, truth will win. You know, the light will never be shadowed out by the darkness. The light will always prevail. And what's done in the dark always comes to light. And so we can only hope that if Trump is the true winner, that he wins whatever lawsuits or whatever appeals he needs to make for this crazy voter fraud, and he will be the next president of the United States again.
Now, one of the things that is important, as an example in Philadelphia, when the mail-in ballots were to come in, there was supposed to be a representative yes. from the Trump camp as well as the Biden camp. However, the Trump camp was left out when these ballots came in.
Purposefully.
So, again, fraud again. All the way through that you find, whether in Arizona, probably in Nevada, probably on these real marginal thin areas, you're finding more people voting than they have registered. That's fraud, everyone. And that's absolute. That's not made up.
And if you look at the map and you take a look at these states that were blue, quote, they turned blue, they were red and they turned blue. Like Oregon, most of the state is red. There's just a few patches of blue, and that's where the electoral votes are, and that is where they won and they went blue. And so there is also this beehive mentality, this hive mentality in these giant cities that is detrimental. I think that whole thing needs to be looked over again. But I think that the massive amount of people in America, if you're looking at the map and you're clicking on these counties, are red. I do think that there was really a red wave, and that Biden knows the only way he can win is by stealing, killing, and destroying, which is exactly what we know Satan's MO is.
Yeah, and by the way, in Oregon, now this is something unbelievable and against the laws of the United States government concerning the DEA and drugs. Tell us about this insane thing. Man.
It was on the ballot. So I have a history in medicine, and so, you know, I'm extremely familiar with DEA licenses and narcotics, and it just blows my mind that on the ballot there was something that you can vote for to decriminalize hard drugs. Now, when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, figures, you know, keep Portland weird, right? That whole mentality that Oregonians
have. Keep it burning.
But when you look at it, the entire purpose is to decriminalize LSD, cocaine, PCP, methamphetamines, which essentially means if you're caught using, abusing, selling, carrying on your persons or whatever, it's no longer a criminal act. What they'll do is say, oh, shame on you, slap you on the wrist, quote, put you in a rehab or a social rehabilitation center, and then send you on your way. So you could be pushing. I'm not meaning to laugh, but it's so insane. I can't even believe we're sitting here having this conversation that the people actually voted in to decriminalize hard drugs. It's lunacy. It's ludicrous. It doesn't even make any sense.
Of course,
but they did.
They burn their cities.
But they do.
They burn their cities.
It's the barometer of the hearts of the people is how we vote. And you have a state that literally said, don't criminalize it. Drugs, don't make it a criminal offense. It's not a felony. It's not even a misdemeanor. It's just, no. You need to go to rehab, you know, and as we all know, drug addicts, and from experience, not myself, but in situations I've been in, they go in and they go out and they go in and they go out. It's like a revolving door sometimes for addiction centers because some people never kick the habit. So you have these offenders who commit violent crimes because of their addiction. There's violent crimes associated with hard drugs.
Crime goes sky high, sure.
Yeah, whether it be running weapons across the border or whether it be murder or domestic violence. But they're going to decriminalize hard drug use. Blows my mind. Don't know what to
say. Only in Oregon, California, the loon states. And if you're in Oregon, California, my heart goes out to you that you have to live under such tyrannical governments. But
and we know that there's a lot of red conservatives in those areas, and we pray for you. I got an email this morning from someone who's upset because we talk out so vehemently against California and Oregon and Washington, but the proof is in the pudding. This is what you voted for. So it's not that we don't think that there's conservatives there. We pray for you, and I want to pray for you to get out. But it might be a reason you're there, and there might be a purpose behind it, maybe for the next election. But we don't mean to bash on Oregonians together.
No.
It's the consensus of how the people in these big cities that hold these electoral votes vote, and it damages everything. So
it's the Kool-Aid, Oregon.
It's the Kool-Aid.
Keep drinking it. Keep watching it burn. Let's go to the phones. Millie on the line, Marina, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. Good to hear you and everything, and I thank you for your show. My husband called you yesterday, Frank. And I just wanted to find out from your financial advisor, Mr.
Tom?
Barnett. A minimum of $3,000, would that be okay to invest in gold?
Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, actually, pretty much any amount. You can either buy silver or gold. 3,000 would be a good starting area for gold. If you have less than that, you can still buy silver. But one of my sayings is, you know, if you have an ounce of gold and you're the poorest people in your neighborhood, you'll be the richest person in your neighborhood when the dollar crashes. I have a client who has he's bought a lot of gold, but he told me that one day, I don't know why he told me this, but he said, I have over $200,000 in cash in my gun safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Joe, why do you have that much money in cash? He says, well, you know, if the dollar crashes, it's going to be handy to have some cash around. I said, did you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
Rewind.
When the dollar becomes worth nothing, you want to have hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting around. And he was just like so many people in this country, brainwashed into believing that the Federal Reserve notes in your wallet, they are currency, but they're not money. They're monopoly money, if anything. They're backed by nothing. But he believed that they were real. So I prayed about it. I had a flash. I said, Joe, tell you what, maybe it's a good idea to keep that $200,000 in cash, because then at least when the crash comes, you won't have to worry about the toilet paper shortage. Well, then he got it.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, because again, your paper dollar is tied to nothing.
In Venezuela, there's currency, their paper currency, like, floating down the street. Yeah. Like, there's just, it's worthless.
Hyperinflation took it all away. So
in Germany, people were burning huge denomination bills. It started off with 100 marks was the largest bill. A mark was about 25 cents. So it was worth, you know, $25 was the largest bill. And before it was over, it was 4 marks to the dollar. Before it was over, it was 4.2 trillion marks to the dollar.
Jeez.
And you could literally have bought an entire city block of downtown Berlin, prime commercial property with buildings on it, for 25 ounces of gold.
Wow.
That's how high gold rose. And when I first heard that, I didn't believe it, but I've researched it. It is fact. Gold becomes the only money, as it's been really for 6,000 years. I mean, the only reason that we have paper money is because of greed.
Sure.
FDR, who, one of our recent presidents, who I don't like to talk, use his name, thinks of as some sort of god. FDR is probably the worst president we've ever had, because he started us on the path to socialism more than anybody else, but he took us off the gold standard. We had real money in this country. And because of FDR, we're really an empty suit. We look like a very prosperous country, but the debt is eating away at our at the basis of our nation. And our worst enemy in this world, who Joe Biden refuses to say is an enemy, he calls him he calls China a competitor, but a friendly competitor. They are the worst enemy of the United States, and they own the largest amount of our foreign held debt of any other country. If they decided to just drop all that money and sell it on the market, it would crush our economy. It's economic warfare.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, the American news media, which is rotten to the core, doesn't inform people of what's really going on. They see, this is the problem. When you have somebody like Donald Trump, who is a businessman, understands these things, and he views China as a very formidable foe. And, China phobic, you know, and when he shut the airplanes carrying COVID to America down, it's terrible.
And Nancy Pelosi was encouraging everybody to go to Chinatown and have Chinese food.
Yeah. And you look at that, but the thing is, he understands what China's doing. In other words, China could cause an economic collapse in the United States tomorrow if they wanted to. By, again, dumping our currency that they have on the market. Now, they don't want to do that yet, because I think they want to peel America a little bit more before they do it. But believe me, it's coming. And we know it's coming, because, again, you can't be this far in debt and payday not coming. In other words, I just keep going down to the bank, and I just keep going farther and farther in debt on my credit cards, farther and farther in debt, till finally they're maxed out. And there isn't some company that's going to come along and get me out of it. What it does, it will crush you. And this is what's happening to our country at large. Millie, I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, it does, and I appreciate that.
Well, God bless you. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we're going to go to Roger, Clarksville, Alaska, I believe it is. Hein, welcome.
Yeah, hello, Mike. Roger Bold up from... Arkansas, Clarksville, Arkansas.
That's good. Yes, Arkansas. So
yeah, my question's been answered. I was wondering about the guarantee insurance, FDIC, $250,000. If I was to come across a big nest egg and I put it into a bank, I want to ask Tom about the insurance policy, how that money's safe. And from what I'm hearing is, it's obviously not.
No, I don't think it is, because, again, depends on what that bank did with the money that you put in the bank. Your thoughts, Tom?
Well, the FDIC, I've been studying this a lot. It has paid off. There's been a lot of banks that have gone out of business, but never the number that are about to go out of business. The next crash, if we hadn't bailed a lot of people out, which we shouldn't have done, but like investment banks, Obama bailed out investment banks that had donated millions of dollars to his campaign, and he let others go under. So it was, you know, picking and choosing which ones would survive. So if you're going to put your money in the bank, choose a local bank, a credit union, smaller things that are not so much a part of the national network, but there's no guarantees there. And there's no guarantees that the FDIC will have the money. So it's better to diversify. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2, that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. And so if you have $250,000, I would put 50 in five different banks and carefully choose the banks, make sure you check ones that are strong. But even then, banks can go out of business. Don't buy this lie that banks and insurance companies can't fail, because they can and they do.
One of the Facebook questions that we have in regards to this whole topic you're talking about is, we're talking a lot about buying gold, and some of our Facebook users want to know, Tom, where can they buy gold? So if they have $250,000 in a bank and they want to diversify, where can they go? How do they buy gold and silver?
If they go to my website, basically just go to Conservative Truth. I'm sorry. I have the oldest Christian conservative website on the internet where we write a lot, and I talk about that a lot. But the ministry is ChristianFinancialConcepts.org. Just go there and ask that question, and we'll give you several different resources. There are some scams out there. The Chinese are making millions of fake gold bullion coins. And so there's ways to make sure that you're safe from that. There are internet scams. 80% of the guys who are selling gold today were selling used cars 18 months ago. There's people that just, whenever something is hot and gold's been moving up a lot, they jump on the latest and greatest thing. And then some of the internet companies, there's been, I believe, five of them in the last few years have gone bankrupt. And people never got their money back. So you have to be very careful, do business with someone, not only that you trust, but also with someone that knows what they're doing. Because I know a Christian who retired, and he started a little coin shop, and he found a guy that was selling him gold bullion cheap, and he thought, well, this is great. And a year and a half later, he found out that he had sold $1.5 million worth of tungsten that was plated with gold, because he didn't know enough about the business to recognize a counterfeit when it came. When I buy gold, I only buy from one person. He's got 55 years experience in a business, and he can smell a counterfeit at 20 paces. So I'm not ever worried about getting fake gold.
Real quick, Tom, on this topic, you know, if you take like a 1926 $20 gold piece, for instance, China replicates it. It's a gold-plated piece of lead, as an example. And you go, oh, I got a good deal on it, just like you said. Shouldn't the federal government come in and bust them for counterfeiting? Because I always heard that was one of the good things you want to do, rather than buying like gold bullion bars or,
gold, large quantities,
gold plated pandas or whatever. You don't want to do that. You want to use like American gold coins, because if they replicate it, it's considered counterfeiting. Or is that just another law that the United States doesn't enforce anymore?
No, actually, it's a little wider than that. If you buy coins that are minted by any sovereign government, you have a lot of reason to trust that, because governments, their money is really important. I mean, going all the way back to 2,000 years ago, British coins, they minted coins of their soil before the time of Christ. And it's a lot easier to determine whether a coin minted by a sovereign government is real or not, because there are only so many pre-1933 gold coins out there. So those are good. Coins from Great Britain are good. Canada. But though any kind of bullion coin, really, even the American bullion coins, are easy to counterfeit because there's so many millions of them. The more rare something is, the harder it is because the dealers know where these coins are, and they look at it a whole lot more closely when they grade them. And by the way, you want to get coins that are graded and authenticated by one of the two major grading companies.
So really important. Well, good. Roger, I hope that helps.
It does, and I have one more thing, if I may.
Okay.
Maybe a Shark Tank, but you and a lot of the pastors on your program talk about God keeps an eye on Israel. Yes. as his time clock.
Yes.
I've been trying to find the Star of David wall clock, and I can't find any. Maybe we should build that clock and put that on the market or make it available.
Great idea, Roger. There you go. There, an enterprising entrepreneur we have on the line with us, everyone. But no, it is true. And if you go to Luke chapter 21, very clearly Jesus speaks specifically of Jerusalem in the last days, that it will come back under complete Jewish control. Now, what was so amazing when Jesus said that, it was under Roman control. Then it was completely destroyed by a Roman general named Titus. And then it was burnt to the ground. And yet, the Bible says it will come back under Jewish control, and it has, just as the Bible says. And then it goes on and says, the generation that sees this will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. We're running out of time, everybody. Again, I tell
Can
everybody.
Can I just share something real quick, Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to invite people to listen to my weekend show.
Yes.
It's at 10:30 Eastern time and on Saturdays and at 6:30 Eastern time on Sundays. If you just go to the website, it'll give you the times in various different time zones. I'm doing little short 2-minute shows twice a day, 5 days a week, and encourage people to go there. But he was talking about something entrepreneurial. I think there's something that Christians need to get together and do. Probably one of the most important things we could do to protect ourselves against, you know, voter fraud and censorship and so on. We desperately need to have a Christian social media platform that does not censor. Okay. Yeah. I mean, when a little weenie in Silicon Valley can censor the president of the United States or censor the oldest newspaper in the United States, the fourth largest newspaper in the country, because they don't like their content, we are in a serious, serious place. So to me, the only answer is, I don't think Congress can have the guts to stand up to these tech people because they donate millions and millions of dollars. We need to have a social media platform that's owned and run by Christian conservatives who believe in the Constitution and that will not censor people.
Well, you know, we have a website as well. Shannon, tell everybody where you can go to not get biased news.
That's right. Well, we have csnradio.com, which you can go to and find our programmers like Tom and others and get information directly from them and their platform. Obviously, we are on secular social media, which is Facebook, Instagram, and all the liking, Twitter for Voice of Truth, my program, as well as to Every Man an Answer and CSN Radio. But we also have different platforms like Periscope and things that aren't as censored. Though they're not controlled by Christians, as Tom is suggesting, they are controlled by more conservative people, and that's what is actually out there right now that we back up our information on, so we're not censored. But there is a pastor, Tom, just to let you know, who's out of Australia, Discover Ministries, Steve Ciccolante, who is fundraising to actually start a Christian social media platform. So interesting you thought of that. I think we all are of like mind and agree that we are being heavily censored. We all have the risk of being completely silenced. But if you enjoy programs like To Every Man an Answer with Mike Kessler, Tom's or mine with Voice of Truth, remember, we are here and we are only donor supported. So you want to keep us on the air, keep supporting us, keep praying for us. We need your support and your prayers, and we covet them.
Amen. And Tom, we're almost out of time. Give us all your web address one more time.
Okay. ChristianFinancialConcepts.com, ChristianFinancialConcepts.com. And, you know, we're already in a contested election. We never got to this, but the contesting of the election has already started. It could go all the way to Inauguration Day, in which case Nancy Pelosi would become the acting president.
And that is a scary thought. And with
scarier
that,
than you can
Tom,
imagine.
Tom, I want to thank you for being on the program. We're all out of time, everyone. And so for Paulette, Franchise, Greg, Robert, the rest, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. And so until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.